Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us today on Sunday, March 17th. First announcement, I want to say thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Today is our sports show, and I also want to say it's the end of Mercury retrograde. Yay!
Woohoo!
For sure. And let's bring on Chavanay, our producer of In the Studio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeedy. We're so glad to be here. Also, I just got a breaking news. Congratulations to Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Gonzaga. They made number one seeds for the NCAA. So
yay,
congratulations,
go Gonzaga.
To you guys.
That's from Washington State, so go Gonzaga.
Uh-huh. You got it. That's Brenda's old college.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's where she went. But anyway, yes, indeed. So we're just glad to be here, and we're going to do entertainment news, as always. And news of the weird, and Shab's going to bring our sports report. So before we, sports report. So we've really got some interesting news today. I don't know what Shab is bringing you on news of the weird, but we've got some interesting news. So let's begin. We'll do, like I said, entertainment news, and then we'll go into some other news. So on entertainment, congrats to Tamar Braxton and her husband Vince Herbert. They're expecting their first child. Congratulations. Tamar is the breakout star of the Braxton Family Values show. She is currently topping the charts with her song, Love and War. Well, we got to listen to that, Shaw.
I haven't heard
Tamar
it yet.
Tamar and her husband, Vince, also starred in their own spinoff reality show, which will focus on their upcoming adventures into parenthood.
Yeah, it doesn't have a show. I'm so sick of these, but go ahead.
I know. Get ready for good times. All you listeners out there that are a little dated, you remember the good times from the 70s? Well, the movie back in the winter of 1974, the groundbreaking TV sitcom, a spinoff of Maude, starred Esther Rolle and John Amos. Both have now since passed. Ralph Carter, Jimmy Walker, and Jeanette Dubois, and Bernadette Standis was produced by Norman Lear. It was the first time a nuclear African-American family was portrayed on television. Janet Jackson joined the show in later season. Good Times was a rating smash and ran for 6 seasons on CBS. The movie version is set in the 60s. No word yet on who will star in the movie version. Let's hope producers get the casting right, because a poor job there could doom the movie. Well, now that Tito Jackson's son, TJ, is the official co-guardian to Michael Jackson's children, look for him to get a payday from the Michael Jackson estate. TJ will be getting paid over $100,000 for his role as co-guardian.
That's nothing compared to his estate. Let that child have it.
Yeah, that's true. He's got $145 million or something like that. Yeah. Well, Quincy Jones, yay, just turned 80. Let's give him a hand clap, y'all.
Wow. Go, Jesse. Jesse Quincy.
Yes, indeed. Turned 80. And he's gearing up for a year-long celebration, y'all, starting in April. Jones will start with a television special from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Special guests include Barbara Streisand, Bono, Stevie Wonder, Chris Tucker, Chaka Khan, and Santana. Q will follow that with a musical celebration in Tokyo and Montreux. Plus, he produces Lou Adler, Public Enemy, Heart, Rush, and the late Donna Summer. Will be 2013 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees and a ceremony airing on HBO Y'all in May the 18th. So you want to mark your calendars. Now, I'm excited about this. Actor Jeffrey Wright is joining the cast of HBO's Boardwalk Empire, That's Me and Trump show. The fourth season will feature Wright as Harlem Kingpin, Valentine Narcisse.
Wow, that's one heck of a name.
I know, huh? Valentine Narcisse. Okay, there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for all you people that watch The View, Joy Behar, I think as you pronounce her name, Bear, is leaving ABC. Yeah, taking The View word has it. Bear, 70, I didn't know she was 70 years old, may be replaced by actress Brooke Shields. Bear, who's been with the show since it began, wants to return to stand-up comedy and other projects. Even though show creator Barbara Walters says there will be no more changes, sources say Elizabeth Hasselbeck may be making plans to move as well. An independent study was done on the show, and Bear and Hasselbeck were found, bear with me, to be too polarizing because of their political views.
See, I don't watch it to have an opinion, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I watch it now and then. It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be a September wedding for Miami Heat star LeBron James. You know our show is about sports, so we got to talk about that. And his fiancée, Savannah Brinson. The couple have two children, two boys, and the wedding is set for the weekend of September 13th to the 15th. So congratulations to you, LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
And where is Tina Turner, y'all? The music legend is stunning. At the age of 73 on the German issue of Vogue magazine. If you haven't seen it, you can go to my website, theessenceofsuccess.com, because I did post it, and she looks great. By the way, the phone number to call in, y'all, is area code 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. Okay, well, Constance White, the former editor-in-chief at Essence Magazine, is revealing why she left the magazine. Uh-oh. White was very popular and was in charge of the magazine over the last 2 years. White says she was forced out by Time, Inc. after they wouldn't agree with the direction of the magazine. Has not been the same since the days of Susan L. Taylor, before the corporate takeover.
I haven't read Essence. Has it lost its genesis?
I haven't read Essence in a while. When Susan left, I kind of got out of it.
Okay.
You know, I know. But Susan played an important part, of course, in the lives of so many women. That magazine did. You have to wonder what direction the magazine will be headed into now. A special shout-out to you, Constance White, and your future endeavors. Because Time, Inc. owns Essence Magazines now.
Well, we'll see. See, I haven't read it, so that actually interests me now to pick one up and just see.
No. Isn't that something? I don't know what direction to go, because it benefits black women. So what direction could they be going? You know, if anything, to continue to bring you know, news, empowerment, and different things that they, the Essence magazine, and, you know, what women are doing now, where are they going, what are we looking for? So, I don't know. Time, Inc., I hope you do right by Essence magazine.
Heck yeah.
Well, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick had to cancel his forthcoming book tour because of death threats. I want to tell you, today's news, he's now going to go ahead with that. The book, Finally Free, details his life after a dogfighting scandal derailed his career and sent him to prison. Even though Michael Vick has turned his life around, many people are still angry with him over the dogfighting scandal. Vick decided not to put himself or his family in danger. Well, now he's decided today and said that he's going to go forward now and go ahead and go around the country and do his, you know, do the book signings.
Heck yeah, so people get over it. He did his time. My gosh, seriously, people?
I know. Well, you know what? Our nation deals in sadness and sorrow, and look how many times they brought up Columbine. I bet you we're going to hear about Connecticut for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't, I should say, not only our nation, our media, move on. Quit talking about the same old thing. What's in the past is in the past. Can we please go forward now and stop talking about the bad and look for the good in situations or how they have improved? You know, our media sucks sometimes. Even though I'm reporting the news and different things, still some of the things I have to question, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Are you being biased in your interpretation of the, you know, of the reporting? Hmm. Well, I've got the scoop on the sequel to the movie The Best Man. The film will arrive in theaters November and will feature the original stars, y'all. Taye Diggs, Nia Long, Terrence Howard, Regina Hall, Monica Calhoun, Sanaa Lathan, Harold Perdue Jr., Melissa DeSoso, and Morris Chestnut and Malcolm Lee. Malcolm Lee, who directed the original 1990 film, will also be back. Thank you. Both Terrence Howard and Morris Chestnut have said the audience better be ready to laugh and shed a tear, and that this sequel will not disappoint the audience. Yay!
All right.
By the way, speaking of Morris Chestnut, Shab, did you know that he's in the movie with Halle Berry this week that opens called The Call?
Oh, no, I didn't know he was in there.
Yeah, they keep advertising that. Yeah, he's in that with her.
I haven't heard anybody talk about it. It just started, what, this past Friday?
I guess. I'm not for sure if it started, but yeah. Also, everybody, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yay! Get your drink on.
And get your green on, too, so you don't get
And please drive safely, people. Enjoy, but drive safely.
Yes, and yes. Have a designated driver if you're going to be out drinking, for sure. Okay, well, Thomas Root, I'm through with entertainment news, so I'm going to talk about the regular news for a minute here. Thompson Reuters suspends employee accused of aiding hackers. Thomas Reuters Corporation suspended with pay a deputy social media editor for Reuters.com who has been indicted on charges he aided members of the Anonymous Hacking Collective. Matthew Keyes, 26, was indicted on Thursday by a federal grand jury in Sacramento, California, on 3 criminal counts. The alleged events occurred before he joined Reuters. Okay? New York attorney Tor Eklund said that he had been hired to represent Keyes and that his client maintains his innocence.
We'll see.
Yeah. Court filing said Keyes had worked for a Tribune-owned television station in Sacramento, operating its Twitter and Facebook feeds. A Federal Bureau of Investigation agent said in a search warrant application that a former colleague told the agency that Keyes had been terminated in October 2010. Keyes joins Reuter in New York in January 2012, a deputy social media editor. He promoted stories through Twitter and other means. So, and what is that? Do you got ducks, girl, or is that geese?
It's ducks. It's that time. They're coming home.
Well, I can hear you, little ducky dude.
Yeah, they're heading home.
Oh. Okay, Keyes wrote on a personal blog and on a Reuters blog that he had personally obtained access to an elite group of hackers, including one known as Sabu. Sabu, later identified as Hector Xavier, became an informant. Court records show Monsieur was publicly identified last year as he has pled guilty to participating in multiple hacking conspiracy. He is awaiting sentencing.
Damn.
Well, I don't know. Wish the best for you, bud. Well, now let's talk about, remember the movie, y'all, Ocean's 11? Well, we had a man that stole $33 million from an Australia casino. an unknown man stole $33 million from an Australian casino by hacking into the surveillance footage and having the information relayed to him via earpiece. While many felt Ocean's 11, the movie starring Brad Pitt and George Clooney, about a massive and intricately planned casino heist was exciting and well thought out, not many believed a caper like the one depicted in the film could actually succeed. There were too many variables, too much pizzazz, and casino security in the movie was made to look like a doltish snail. Sometimes, however, life does imitate art. So, security experts believe the Crown's own methods of surveillance and protection were used against it. According to ABC, Crown has high-resolution cameras that pan, tilt, and zoom in and on gaming tables, which the unknown thief, who was playing at the high-stakes VIP tables, gained access to, allowing him to have the content phoned into him via an earpiece he was wearing.
Damn.
According to Las Vegas-based casino consultant Darren Stringfellow, pulling off this type of heist takes far fewer resources than an Ocean's 11 type scheme. Instead, most of the equipment can be purchased at any local electronics store. Intercepting them, the surveillance signals, is as simple as going to a local Radio Shack. Ain't that cold?
Damn.
He described the operation as this. The player wears an earpiece that is fed information from an accomplice sitting somewhere in the casino or outside of it. This person would have access to the casino surveillance feed and would be watching the actions on the table. They would then relay the best plays and bets to the player. According to Stringfellow, these schemes are more common than the public thinks and only go unreported because casinos are loath to disclose them, fearing the repercussions of bad PR. Crown Casino has pledged to recover the money, but Stringfellow says that outcome is close to impossible if the thief was able to leave the property with the windfall. Chances are zero.
Damn.
He's one that got away.
Okay. Woo.
Now, this week, a lot of people are talking about this, and it's really, to me, not only dangerous but sickening. Number of dead pigs from China. You know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, now it has raised to 12,566 pigs. The increasing total of dead pigs tossed into waters here and near Shanghai shines light on Chinese pork industry with few controls. Authorities in Shanghai plucked 611 dead pig carcasses Saturday, which provides drinking water to the city of 23 million residents. In total, 8,965 dead pigs have been found in the river since March 8th. The swollen and rotting pigs are largely believed to be from the upstream city of Jiangxi and neighboring Xi'an province, but Zhao, a deputy mayor, said it was inconclusive to say all the pigs were from her city. The head veterinarian for China's Agriculture Ministry, Mr. Yu, who has traveled to the region to investigate the death, told state media Saturday there has been no major swine epidemic, but said some samples tested positive for the common porcine circovirus and the epidemic diarrhea virus. Yi also said cold weather and fluctuating temperatures have caused a spike in deaths among baby pigs. Villagers have told state media that pig dumping is on the rise following police campaigns against the illicit trade of pork products harvested from diseased pigs that were legally sold instead of properly disposed of. Oh, my God. The rotting pig bodies in a river that supplies tap water, y'all, to Shanghai has drawn attention to an ugly truth. China's pig farms are often riddled with disease, and one way or another, sick animals often end up in the food chain.
Ew.
I know.
Sorry,
no
go ahead. That's just...
Huh?
I said, that's just disturbing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, no. There is no mechanism by which whenever diseases are found among pigs, the government compensates pig breeders so as to control the spread of diseases or compensate pig breeders for losses. Mr. Fang said, general manager of pig industry research organizer, to make matters worse, Fang said insurance companies were unwilling to insure pig breeders because of the risks were so high. Workers on barges and on the riverbank use pitchforks to drag bloated dead pigs out of the water. Pork is China's staple meat, and the swine population is the world's largest at 475 million head at the end of last year. That's a lot of pigs, okay?
Yeah,
that's
it
how
is.
Much it comes out of China. They're number one for pork. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well,
that's
people.
Terrible. It makes
I hope
me,
you.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, there's plenty of filtered water over there because that's some deadly water. I mean, you don't know what else is in that pig water, and hopefully they're not. They haven't been selling it or using it as meat products for any type of indigestion. I don't know. It's bad enough it's in the water, but I hope these people haven't been eating these diseased pigs.
Oh, God, I know. Can you imagine? Well, they said diarrhea virus, too, so maybe, yeah, some of them have come into that. But, oh, my God, that is just horrible. We want to bring Trump online. How you doing, Trump?
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Fine, and you. Did you have you heard anything about that story this week about the dead pigs in China?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, oh, it's awful.
Oh, I hate for you to recap what you said, but can you bring me up to speed real quick?
Sure. What it is to date, there's been 12,566 dead pigs. Why they're dying, we don't know. Reportedly, there's no swine flu, but they're dumping these dead pigs in the water where people drink. They drink this water.
Mm.
And so it's polluting their stream or river, you know, that I guess it goes down. And they keep dumping these pigs. Well, it's getting pretty bad now.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's up to 12,000. And this started on March 6th,
these
dead pigs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't heard anything about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's been in the news almost every other
day. I've been too caught up in March Madness, I guess.
And we're going to bring you in, too, brother. Well, listen, let me take a short break. Or, Shab, did you want to do News of the Weird before we take a short break?
No, go ahead. We can take a break and just jump right into sports.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Trump's now. Hang on the line. We'll be back in 2 and 2. I won't take a 5-minute break. It'll just be a quick one, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. back.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking a quick break with us, and I'm glad you're still here. I just have to do a quick funny, and then I'll let Shaw I'll let Shaw go ahead and Trunks come in. It's called Ball's Interesting Observation. The sport of choice for urban poor is basketball. The sport of choice for maintenance-level employees is bowling. The sport of choice for The sport of choice for frontline workers is football. The sport of choice for supervisors is baseball. The sport of choice for middle management is tennis. The sport of choice for corporate executives and officers is golf. The amazing conclusion, the higher you go in the corporate structure, the smaller your balls are.
Hello.
I just had to throw that in.
And every one of those stereotypes is true. Yeah,
oh yeah.
Those who can afford golf fees, tee fees, can afford. Yeah, have the smallest balls. Who would be, you know, like administrators? That's good. Yeah, can I steal that?
Sure, you can. I'll send it to you.
All right, do that.
Okay, I'll send it to you. Now, Shav, did you want to come forward? Now, Trunks, before you came on, we have breaking news, and I said congratulations to Kansas City, Indiana, and Gonzaga because they made number one seeds.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So they had to put that out.
And I want you to keep your eye on Louisville.
Okay.
Because there's a Seattle boy that plays the point guard. He was MVP of the Big East tournament not only last year, but this year, too.
Okay.
He's from right there in Seattle.
What's his name?
Peyton
Siva. So we can watch him.
Peyton Siva. S-I-V-A.
Okay.
He's from Samoan.
Oh.
Senior night, his family presented him with Lays. Gave Lays to the whole team.
Oh, that was nice.
Keep an eye on them. I think they play the first game, I think it's Thursday. Quite a ball player. He's really, really good.
Okay.
The whole team is really good. But since there is a Seattle connection, I want you to get on that bandwagon. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. We there with you, Louisville. We with you.
Yeah, do that.
We'll definitely be pulling for y'all.
Well, Gonzaga's not bad either now. They got the winningest team in NCAA. They've got 30 games or better already.
Gonzaga?
So
just,
yeah.
Get out of here. Go, Gonzaga.
Yeah, they're last last now. Yeah, they're the number one seed. I can't remember which region, but it was Louisville, Gonzaga, Indiana,
Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas, yep. Oh, we're just so proud out here.
So
you hear that, Washington?
We'll meet in Atlanta.
Huh?
What'd you say?
I said, perhaps we'll meet in Atlanta.
Oh.
Yes.
Is that where the NCAA finals are being held
this
year?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, and we got relatives down there, too. Hush. That's Shav's old stomping ground.
That's everybody in Louisville's stomping ground.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It happened in Atlanta. A lot of Louisvillians moved to Atlanta in the 70s. Yeah, lots of people. There must be a lot of people my age moved down there in the 60s. So we're talking about people in their 60s. Yeah, and when Atlanta took off in the 70s, particularly the airlines.
Okay.
They already had the largest air hub with the old Ferguson. Used to be the mayor of Atlanta. It was named after. They built a new one called Hartsfield, and it's a major employer down there. So, yeah, there's a lot of little venues. It'd be almost like a home game for us because we go down there all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You never know.
Oh, no. That's why you have to play the game, you know. You have to really play the game. There are certain advantages to where you play. For example,
okay.
Louisville plays within an hour's drive of Louisville, Kentucky. So it's almost like a home game. They're playing in Lexington. They play University of Kentucky every year, so they're familiar with the gym, the arena. So it's almost going to be like a home game.
Yeah.
That's the advantage a lot of the number one seeds get. Indiana goes to Dayton, Ohio, which is about an hour and a half away, and then they have the finals in Indianapolis for the region. So that's the benefit of really being, one of the top four teams.
Heck yeah, it is.
You get better placement for the game.
Yeah. And then you get seeded, so the number one team always plays the worst team. The deck is really set for Louisville. Deck is set also for, I'd say, Indiana, and I would go with Georgetown. Georgetown's got an easy road. But that's
you think
just speculation.
So?
That's just speculation. You know, I don't.
It's just speculation.
Well, you never know. I don't know because I haven't really been up on the NCAA. So, and I know
pro town out there, right? That's pro town. You got professional football, basketball, baseball, you name it. Midwest, Chicago is the largest municipality in this area, so they have it all. But, like, Nashville might have one or two pro teams, but Chicago's got everything. So college basketball is very big, not only to me, but a lot of people.
Okay. Now, what are you looking forward to this season in the NCAA? Because I think it doesn't start. When does the March Madness start?
The 19th.
Well, yeah that's when
the
tournament
the
starts, but it's already underway. So you've had tournaments, conference tournaments already. So,
yeah, because didn't Ohio State take, the Big Ten?
Right, Ohio
Big
State
Ten title.
State. Right, right. So
yeah.
The Big Ten today. They had another turn. Kansas.
Kansas, the Big 12?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And after those two games, they had the pairings. And
that's right.
I paid a lot of attention to the region. After they called Louisville, I started paying less and less attention to the pairings. But I know some,
He's like, I'm good.
because we were hoping to go to Lexington. See, they said earlier in the year that Lexington would be the site of one of the regions, the Midwest region. Okay, if we were ordinarily, they send Louisville all the way out to the West Coast. We start at L.A. and have to travel across the country to the tournament to get home. This year, we start at home and practically end at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything's about a 45-minute flight and an hour drive.
That's not bad at all.
No, not bad at all.
Well, let me give y'all some scores right quick. Miami, Florida beat North Carolina 87-77. Ole Miss, 66. Florida, 63. And St. Louis, 62-56 for VCU. And Ohio State, 50-Wisconsin, 43. That was a very low game.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's playing defense this time of year. Things you used to get away with, you can't get away with anymore.
Oh.
Now, what do you mean
explain.
By that?
Yeah, explain.
Okay. When you, early season, you're working out the kinks. You're getting your team together. You know, say from December to like January, you're finding out what players play together. You put those players together, and then you go into your conference season from January through the end of February. You're playing teams that are familiar with your style of ball and that you're familiar with, and that improves your game. You have to peak at the right time in the college game. You have to avoid injuries. You have to get unity. So that you want your team to peak around mid-February.
Okay.
And then, you know, all that stuff that you had, you know, previous suits you better because you're familiar with it. But when you're in your conference play, that's when most of your upsets occur because they know you.
This is when the underdogs might win?
Yeah, underdog might win because that team's played two or three times, you know.
Okay.
Okay, so for example, if I'm a senior at Gonzaga and I've already played, Pepperdine three times already, I'm familiar with them. You know, they're not going to intimidate me. They're not going to pull anything new on me. So that's where your underdogs beat your favorites.
Oh, okay.
Now, a team that's brand new can pull it off, but it's not typical that a brand new underdog to you will beat you. That's why the seeds are so set that way. There's very little chance for a 15 or a 16 seed to be the number one seed. They come from the smaller schools. They come from the lesser conferences. Don't stand a heck of a chance. There's a school, I think it's Southern. Southern's only lost two games all year. But they're still,
whoa.
Yeah, but they're still a 15 seed because they play in what's called the SWAC. It's a Southwestern Athletic Conference.
Okay.
Small schools like Grambling, Southern, Prairie View, small black colleges.
Okay. Not to cut you off, Trumps, that's who's playing Gonzaga at Southern University.
That's who Southern is?
Yeah, they're playing
Gonzaga.
Get out
of here.
They are March 21st in Salt Lake City. That's
in
who Gonzaga is playing here.
They're playing right next door.
They sure are. That's who they're playing, too.
That
shocked the mess out of me. I was like, oh, okay.
That's the advantage of having a number one seed. You play practically at home.
Yeah. Yep.
Your fans can drive, travel, you know, support you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be tough for Southern to get a lot of people up to Utah City. I mean, they'll be there. They'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's far from home, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they definitely have to fly. It's not a road trip.
Right.
From Louisiana to Utah.
Right.
Well, now, are there any players, Trumps, that you see right now, possibilities, you know, that might be going to the NBA that are coming out this year?
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few. You'd almost have to go by positions because there's guards who will come out, there's centers who will come out, and there were forwards that will go out. Out your way, not that familiar with Gonzaga, but there's a guy that plays center for you guys, wears a headband.
Uh-huh. I have no idea.
Yeah, white guy with long hair. He looks like a hippie. he can sure enough hoop.
Let's look him up.
Yeah, we'll have to look him up. But I don't care how he looks, long as he makes the baskets.
He's one of the top big men in the country. He's ready to go now. There's a kid down at UCLA called Shabazz Muhammad. He's ready to go now. They don't look for him to come back.
Now, are these players, Trump's going all the way graduating college, then going to the NBA, or are they just leaving their senior year?
And then going straight
to the NBA.
A lot of them are leaving after their freshman year. Some of them are leaving after their sophomore year. I'm trying to think who might be a graduate. Oh, well, Peyton Siva, the kid from Seattle. He's a senior. He's graduating, got his degree.
All right.
I'm not sure if he'll go first-round draft, but he'll be first or second. Trying to think. Well, Duke puts out a lot of players who graduate.
What about Louisville? Y'all got any players looking forward to the NBA?
Yeah, we got a center, a kid from Senegal,
seven-footer.
He's magnificent, to tell you the truth. You know, to tell you the truth,
wow.
He can play. He led the conference in block shots, and he's been improving. Every year he's a junior now.
Okay.
And he came out in that transition from coming to Africa, from Africa to the States, he was a little older than the average high school kid. So when he graduated from high school, so see, like he's 22, 23 now. He's a junior. If he was to stay around till he's 20, until he's like 24, he's only going to have about 6 good years left on a contract with the NBA. So they're encouraging him to go pro. He's almost too old. He's losing time that he could be playing pro ball. Now, I wish he'd come back because he's like a B-plus student. And, you know, the town loves him. His parents came from Senegal to see him play ball for the first time in their life.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
He plays before 22,000 every night, and he says his town doesn't have
22,000. Wow. Now I have a question for you. Did you hear about, what was it, I guess, did someone's coach got fired from the school? Northwestern fired their coach, Bill Carmody? Carmody, because of their record?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. This was the best season Northwestern had in some time, and they didn't make the tournament. They may not even make the NIT. They played respectably. I mean, it wasn't like every team ran over them, but the name of the game is you got to win.
Well, that's what they said, that he took them, like you were just saying, the NIT 4 times, but they said under his watch, they never made it to an NCAA tournament.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
Right.
And he's been with them for 13 years.
Right.
Whoa.
And see, Northwestern is in Chicago. There's too much talent in Chicago not to pull a winner out of there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they said they were riddled with injuries. So I was just wondering, because I was like, wow, that's, you know, you hang with a team that long and just to cut you.
Well, I'll tell you, Northwestern had a coach by the name of Birdsong, I want to say at least 10 years ago, who got so disgusted with the team's performance during the game, he left the bench. He actually left the bench and sat in the audience with the crowd.
Are you
serious? I have never heard of a coach doing that, Trump.
Yeah, he was disgusted. He was disgusted with Northwestern. Black coach, too, yeah. I'm thinking maybe like 10 years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
He walked off the bench.
Yeah, threw up his hands, walked up in the stands, sit down, have a seat.
Is it because of the players that they're dealing with? Is that what it is, the players, or is it the coaching staff?
I think it's the academics. It's a private school. It's called the Harvard of the Midwest. Northwestern is a very private school. Only well-to-do folks really go there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess they ain't well-to-do on their sports.
They've gotten better, but I wouldn't look for them to be in the basketball program with Big Ten champs for a long time to come. Yeah. Stanford is a lot better than Northwestern. Stanford and Northwestern are kind of like the same. You know what I mean? Without sports, the reputation of the two schools would be parallel. That's what Northwestern stresses is academics.
Well, now with you saying that, I just never see Harvard as a basketball team. But they're in the tournament and they're playing against New Mexico.
Right.
I mean, what's your feelings on that? I guess they're ranked number 14.
Right.
I was like, wow, you guys are actually ranked? Okay.
Yeah, Harvard's got their coaches from Duke. Tommy Amaker. Tommy Amaker was their coach, is their coach. He played at Duke. He's got a strategy a lot like Coach K. And before going to Harvard, he was at, I want to say Michigan. I think he's at Michigan before he went to Harvard. Now, he wasn't winning enough at Michigan to play, but now that he's gotten to Harvard, he's doing quite well.
Oh, okay. And what do you think about New Mexico winning? What is it, the Mountain West?
Mountain
My
West,
God, they
right.
have titles for everything.
Right. Well, they got a heck of a coach. They do.
Okay.
Steve Alford. Steve Alford is from nearby Newcastle, Indiana. I don't know if you remember. I don't even know if you remember when Syracuse and IU played, and Keith Smart hit the winning shot for IU. He was on that team. He was on their last championship team, national championship team. Keith Smart.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Not Keith Smart. Well, Keith Smart was on it, but I mean New Mexico's coach, Steve Alford.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You know, I hate to say this, but I gotta ask. I don't know what we're doing. What are the Huskies doing? Does anybody know?
They
University of Washington.
They didn't make the big dance, but I think they're going to the NIT.
Oh, okay.
Now that's what's his
yeah,
name? Ramiel. Is it Washington or Washington State? I think it's Washington that Ramiel is the coach of. I have no idea. He's a brother that's been there for, I'd say at least 7 or 8 years. He's had some good teams. I don't know how he missed
the
talent there, though, because he lets a lot of guys get away. He had Terrence Jones get away. He had Terrence Williams get away. He had this Peyton Siever kid get away. Some of those kids that Washington is losing should be staying.
Oh, okay. How can I say? So he's not collecting a good team, or he's letting go of a good team?
He's not building a good team.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Uh-huh.
It's really difficult because prime time for college basketball is not on the West Coast. You know, like the New York, the closer you get to New York City, the media mecca, the more exposure you get.
Okay.
When UCLA gets around to playing ball, only the reporters, the press, and all that stuff, but it doesn't hit much of us back here because we get to see a lot of the games. We don't get to see a lot of West Coast games because it's so late.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a 3-hour time difference. Yeah,
yeah,
I can agree.
Right. So if a kid on the West Coast wants to really get on ESPN. CBS and the major networks. The further east you go, the more exposure you get.
Okay.
I believe that because we had a friend of our family's and their son was playing for South Carolina. Remember Bud?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Buggy Boo. Yeah, he was playing with South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, Washington, the Huskies are out. They lost their last game on the 14th to Oregon, 80-77 in overtime.
Now, that's a good team, Oregon. They lost in overtime?
Yeah, Huskies did to Oregon, yeah.
Oh, okay. They finished pretty strong then.
Mm-hmm, sure did. Lost 77-80.
They'll probably get to
Yeah,
them.
I've
They'll
been
go
hearing a lot about
then.
Oregon for us on the West Coast. That Oregon is doing really good.
Oregon's favorite on the West Coast. I think they're looking for a Gonzaga-Oregon matchup sometime. I think they will. Arizona, I think, was. Do you have the brackets right there before you, Shad?
Uh-huh, I sure do.
Who's Arizona played the first round?
Let me see. Oh, Belmont.
Belmont.
Mm-hmm, on the 21st.
Look out for Belmont.
You think so?
Yes, look out. I mean, I was surprised, too, until I saw Belmont play.
Okay.
Yeah. If they should lose, if Belmont should lose, it won't be by much. They're not going to be easy.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
You don't think Arizona can take them?
Arizona might get upset.
Oh, wow.
That could very well happen. Belmont is a very athletic team. They're from Nashville, Tennessee, and they play the larger schools like Vanderbilt. They play University of Tennessee. They play Memphis, and they all come within, 4 or 5 points.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
So you know, they might be taken lightly. They might be the dark horse in that particular bracket.
Okay.
What are you showing in your brackets that's coming up, Shaw? I mean, I've got the games for next week, but what are you showing? Where is it right now?
Well, now, actually, I have a question for Trumps. Now, I have a question. So if teams are ranked at the same, do they have to play first? And the reason I ask, so in Lexington, you got Louisville, but it looks like North Carolina and Liberty are both ranked 16. So they those two teams play first, and out of those two teams, that's who plays Louisville?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Now I'm understanding the bracket.
Those two teams are the worst seeds in the tournament. They got to battle it out to see who plays the best team in the tournament.
Okay. Well, then for the first round on March 19th will be North Carolina AT&T against Liberty. They play first, and then Middle Tennessee plays against St. Mary's.
Right.
And then on the 20th, you got, LIU Brooklyn will play James Madison, and Boise State, there's Sarah's team, will play LaSalle. Is it LaSalle?
Yeah.
So those are pretty much games. Then you got Louisville will play either North Carolina or Liberty. Then you got Colorado State will play Missouri. Oklahoma State will play Oregon. St. Louis will play New Mexico State. Now, these are games on the 21st. Now, I'm just doing the midway. Excuse me, I should have said that. Memphis will play either Middle Tennessee or St. Mary's. Michigan State will play, I have no idea how to pronounce that, Valparaiso?
Valparaiso.
Okay.
That's northern Indiana. That's right outside of Chicago.
Okay. So those are the teams that will be playing on the 21st. Now, on the south, you got Kansas City against Western Kentucky. You got North Carolina.
Kansas.
Oh, and it's against Western Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that would be the second round. So the first rounds, I apologize, just the first rounds. Oh, my gosh. I just gave you the first round. They go into the second round. Now, I have a question, Trumps. Now, I see on the bracket the first rounds and the second rounds, but I don't see where they fit for the third rounds.
Okay, the third round is called the it's easier to think of it as first round of 64, second round of 32. Third round is Sweet 16. Fourth round is Final Four.
Okay.
Fifth round is the semi. You see what I'm saying?
Because that was confusing me. I'm looking at this bracket.
Yeah, it is. But it's easier to think of what they call it. Like, when you get to the Sweet 16, that's like saying the top 20 teams in the country.
Okay.
And then you go to the Elite Eight.
Right,
yeah.
Elite Eight.
And you then the Final Four.
Right. Final Four, right.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's some good teams that are coming out. Let's see
who
else
really
you got.
It's a good year for college basketball. It really is.
This year it is?
Yes.
Now, who are you pulling to go all the way? Should I even ask?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd ask.
You're asking the wrong person if you want to be a person.
Because you're biased, maybe?
I have a better chance of giving you number two than number one. I'm seeing Indiana. And I don't know if I'm biased because I'm here. You know, I listen to a lot of Indiana people play or talk. I've seen them play. I'm thinking it's going to be Louisville against a Big Ten team. Big Ten's got Ohio State, they have Michigan, they have Wisconsin, they have Indiana. And those are really, really tough teams. Among those four teams I just listed, I can't tell you who would win. So I'm thinking that it'll be Louisville in the final against a Big Ten team.
All right.
Just to let y'all know, Oregon is ranked at number 12 right now.
And another
and
team
with
Belmont,
Miami. Arizona.
Miami,
huh?
But Miami is a good team too. They haven't been giving Miami much respect.
Yeah, because didn't Miami just win the ACC, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, they sure did.
And they gave Duke the number one seed. Now, they beat,
wow.
Duke, they beat Duke twice. Well, Duke didn't play them in the tournament because Duke got upset by, I want to say it was Virginia. I think Virginia upset Duke in the tournament. But Miami has beaten Duke and has gone on to win the ACC tournament. But they still
play sure
Duke.
Did.
They still they placed Duke at number one.
Now, what do you think of Larkin? That's on Miami.
What do I think of who?
The young man Larkin, Shane Larkin, excuse me.
Heard a lot about him when he was coming in. I haven't seen him play a lot, but his stats look real good, and I've seen what he's done in maybe two games. Very good ball player. That whole team is good. That whole team is good. And they deserve more respect than they've been getting. I'm kind of pulling for them, too. I'd rather they beat Duke out of the Final Four than anybody else.
Why is it just historical or, I don't know, it's always seemed that Duke, even though you got all these teams, but it always seems like Duke is always praised. Duke this, Duke that.
Yeah, Duke's a lot like the Yankees in college basketball.
Everybody, thank you.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot right there.
Yeah, yeah. They've always been a winner, you know. They were one of the last few schools to have kids to go pro early.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of this kid now. Brand, I think he plays for, he used to play for Chicago. He was from the West Coast, L.A. He was the first one to go pro, and that was maybe 10 years ago. But Duke used to keep their players for 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't about until about 10 years ago when we pro early. They get super players, really super players. McDonald All-Americans, what they call blue-chip players, Duke gets them. They have no reason not to win. That's why it makes it so much. That's why it's so much fun. their coach got upset because they got upset by a team a couple of weeks ago, and they stormed the floor, you know. And he got upset about that. He really got upset. He said his players were endangered and his staff could have been endangered. But if you play Duke at Cameron Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Their arena is called the Cameron Crazies. They right on top of you. They're obnoxious. So when someone storms the floor on Duke, I praise them for that. When he upset Coach K about that, I loved it.
Hello.
Yeah, everybody's an underdog when they play Duke. I don't care who you are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and
like
it is. It just seems like that.
Yeah.
Well, let me give y'all the schedule for Tuesday. Now, on Tuesday, we've got 16th North Carolina and Liberty 16. And then we've got Middle Tennessee 11 and St. Mary's 11. This is Tuesday. Now, Wednesday's game is going to be Long Island, ranked at 16, and James Madison 16. And, of course, as Shaw mentioned earlier, Boise State 13 and LaSalle's at 13. So just to let you know the upcoming games.
That LaSalle boys game, where is that being played?
I can't.
Yeah, I haven't gotten my bracket together yet. I have to get it off from online, and I should have gotten my brackets by now. I wouldn't have to ask you so many questions. But
Kansas City.
No, that's
they're
okay.
Playing in Kansas City.
Okay. That's almost a neutral site. They don't both fan bases would have a little ways to go.
Okay. Well, Trans, before we close the show out, who do you want us to be looking at? Of course, Louisville, and you said Miami, and of course, we're going to be watching for Peyton Sivia. Anybody else that you think we should watch for as we watch the games here?
I like Indiana. Like I said, any team of those teams in the Big Ten, look out for any of those. Because the Big Ten has had their best, from top to bottom, the best conference in the college basketball. And they play very deep, and they got upperclassmen throughout the Big Ten.
Oh, okay.
We'll definitely be watching that team.
Yeah, keep an eye on them.
I sure will. Well, Trunks, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's always a pleasure. And bringing us women, as well as some of the men out there up to date on the NCAA March Madness.
Yes, ma'am.
We do appreciate that. We didn't talk any about NBA or MLB or golf, but maybe on the next show we'll bring up a little bit about that. But
it doesn't matter
now.
It's March Madness. No sports count right now.
All right. Well, we thank everybody today for listening to the show. And next Sunday, our show is going to be about blessed. And thank you. We want people to call in and let us know how you've been blessed in your life or what you're just thankful for, you know, to come in and join us. So, and every Wednesday, of course, you know, is free psychic reading every Wednesday from 3 Pacific Coast Time, Pacific Daylight Time, excuse me, from 3 to 4 o'clock. And you can always get readings at my website, theessenceofsuccess.com, where you can get readings Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Or you can listen to the show, even today's show, anytime, 24/7. So again, thank you for joining us today. And my saying is, if you can't grow with me, then you can't go with me. And what's up, Chabonet? Let's take it out.
Have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and have a great week.
All righty. Thank you. In the studio.